담바바기니노 아니 안두 자이빔 The other way around tonight. So once again we have competition. Nirvana and Samsara. Nirvana will win every time. So we've been looking at how to follow in Baba Saheb's footsteps. And we know very well by now where those footsteps are leading. They're leading to the new India based on liberty, equality and fraternity. And the method that's used is changing the mind of everybody in India. That's what we need to do, change our own minds and change the minds of every other person in India and indeed in the whole world. And we're examining this by looking at a fourfold action plan. And I think that you're all getting a very good idea of what you need to do in order to follow in Baba Saheb's footsteps. And I've asked you all to think very carefully about what you can do and to make decisions about how to do it, when to do it. So we talked about working on ourselves through Shila Samadhi Prajna. And I asked you each to think every evening about the way in which you could practice more deeply under each of these headings. I think what we've been doing is very important work. And if you've missed any of these talks, I suggest you get the CDs, the VCDs, and just go over that material again. Because this is a sort of training camp for the Dhamma Revolution. Then we looked at how to form Sangha, why we need a Sangha to give us the support for our spiritual lives. And last night was very, very practical, and I gave you some quite specific advice on how to form those Sangha Kulas. So we've got two more aspects of the action plan to consider. We've got to think about sharing Dhamma with everybody in India. And we've got to think about helping those who are still suffering. So tonight and tomorrow night we're going to be looking at sharing Dhamma throughout India. So I want to just start by reminding you of why this is important. We don't do something unless we believe it is important and valuable. So we need to be quite convinced of the purpose. And really we have to answer the question, why did Baba Saheb convert to the Buddha Dhamma? Now this is not at all well understood. Even many people who will say Jai Bhim and Garland Baba Sahib, they don't really know why Baba Sahib converted. So I hope that at the end of this we're all very, very clear on why Baba Sahib converted. So I've been over it a number of times, but I think it's important to go over it again and again and again. So let's just briefly go over the argument again. So Baba Sahib was faced with India at the beginning of the 20th century. And he was faced with a terrible injustice of casteism. Crores of people were kept virtually like slaves. They didn't have any freedom at all. And they were condemned by many as less than human. And this kept Indian society in a terrible state of conservatism and backward lookingness. And such a huge number of people just didn't really have a human life at all. Baba Sahib struggled all his life to end this injustice. He struggled politically, socially, even economic struggle. He entered government and was able to form the constitution of the Independent Republic of India. Because of his work, and of course a number of other reformers too, a big change has taken place in India. People now have fundamental rights that they did not have before. The constitution gives every Indian citizen equal rights. Because of his work, because of the work of other reformers, every Indian citizen has the vote. And that means that their voices must be heard. Because of his work, many have got good education, and they've been able to rise out of the poverty and oppression which their forefathers suffered. Because of Baba Sahib's work, the establishment of the constitution, people have got good government jobs and therefore power and influence. Certainly in Maharashtra, a big change has taken place. But still, the problem of caste remains. In many places in India, casteism is still as strong as ever. Some people still suffer from very, very bad oppression. There's so much prejudice and lack of understanding between one Indian citizen and another. Society is divided and competitive. And casteism has left a deep legacy in mental attitudes that citizens carry with them. Many carry feelings of inferiority, suspicion, hostility. There's a lot of fear in people's minds. And there's one thing that we particularly notice coming from Europe. That there's a lack of a public spirit. In England we feel the streets belong to us. But in India everybody's more attached to their own community. So there's not such a strong sense of public property and belonging. So this legacy of caste is still with us and is still alive. It finds its expression in so many features of Indian life. It affects all, whether at the top or at the bottom of the system. It holds back the potential of this great nation. I've said that I'm now a quarter Indian. I've got a quarter masala in my veins. And yes, I love India. I see so much potential in India. Such an energetic, vigorous, young nation. Such an intelligent people. When Indians excel, they lead the whole world. You look what Indians are doing in software development. Everybody in the West wants Indian software programmers. Because there's so much creativity in the Indian mind. But because of casteism, all this potential isn't released. So yes, casteism still affects India, still holds it back. So Baba Sahib wanted to work on this much more deeply. And he saw that the roots of caste are in the human mind. Caste isn't a fact. Caste isn't a color like red. You can see red, you can measure it with various scientific instruments. It's not like wood or metal. It can't be discovered by science. If scientists cut open somebody from one caste and then somebody from another caste, they couldn't tell any difference. You know, nowadays they can take the heart out of somebody when they're dead and put it in somebody else. So you could take a Joshi's heart and put it in a Kamble's body. It would beat just the same. It wouldn't say no, that's not my proper body. It's not that the caste is not a fact. And to prove it, I can't see caste. I wasn't programmed for caste. I often say in England we have our own prejudices, we have our own difficulties. But we weren't educated to see caste. And the only caste we have in England is what Indians bring when they come to stay there. I've heard that there are some hotels in England where only certain people from certain castes go. So India is exporting software and caste. But I haven't been educated to see caste. So it's in your minds, it's something that comes in the Indian mind. It's in the mind, not in the world. Man has created caste. And Baba Saheb says, what man has made, man can undo. But it must be undone where it comes from. If you want to bring something, if you want to get rid of a weed, you have to dig it out of the ground. So Baba Saheb says, caste is a notion, a state of mind. So we have to get it out of the mind. So what Baba Saheb saw was a need for a revolution in the mind. There needed to be a revolution in human relationships. A new kind of morality. Not a morality based on inequality. A morality based on liberty, equality and fraternity. There needed to be right relations between man and man based on equality. There needs to be a revolution in Sheila. But Sheila needs to be rooted in a view of life. It needs to be rooted in a view of life. If we're to practice Sheila, we must believe in Sheila. So Sheila needs to come out of a vision of what human life is about. We won't follow Sheila just because we're told to follow it. We either follow Sheila because we're afraid or because we believe in the view of human existence from which it comes. The old morality is a morality of fear. The new morality must be a morality of reflection and individual choice. So there needs to be a new vision, a new religion to base Sheila in. So Baba Saheb looked, what sort of religion must we have? He didn't think it was possible to invent a new religion. He said the age of Mahatmas was over. So he looked at all world religions, and he looked for a religion that didn't contradict the findings of modern science. The old religions, they ask you to believe things that aren't real. For instance, the religion I was brought up in asked me to believe that a man rose from the dead and lived again.
it asked me to believe a man rose from.
He was executed, buried, and then he rose up and lived again. And then after a while he rose up into the sky and went to heaven. Well, I couldn't believe that. It's against modern science. When people are dead, they're dead. They don't rise up again. People don't go up into the sky and disappear. They only do that if they have a spaceship. So I couldn't believe that religion. So Baba said we must find a religion which doesn't ask us to believe things which are just unbelievable. Then he wanted to find a religion that supported liberty, equality, and fraternity. There needs to be a religion, otherwise there won't be morality. And if there's no morality, there won't be liberty, equality, and fraternity. But that religion must not contradict reason. And it must support liberty, equality, and fraternity. So Baba Sahib found all this in the Buddha Dhamma. And well, he saw that Buddhism is a Dhamma, not religion. It's not rules and blind belief. It's not I'm right and you're wrong. It's not our people and other people. It's a religion of the brotherhood of humanity. It's a religion of individual conscience. And of universal Maitri. So in 1956, this was the religion that Baba Sahib adopted. And he hoped for a vast movement on the day that he converted. He said he thought that in 10 to 15 years many, many people, perhaps even most people in India, could be Buddhist. He thought that once he converted, all the people from the scheduled castes, other backward castes and so on, would think, well, we should go too. We've been oppressed by this old system for so long. Let's throw it off and embrace a religion that gives us human dignity and pride. And Baba Sahib thought that that would spread through India like a fire. At the same time, he thought that many modern-minded, liberal, educated Hindus would also turn to Buddhism. They'd want a more rational religion. As they were thinking more in rational terms, they'd see that their old religion was superstition. And they'd want to find a just society. And they'd want a religion that supported a just society.
So that was what Baba Saheb believed would happen after
1956.
He thought that crores and crores of Indians would convert. But we know that hasn't happened. There are perhaps now 2 crore Buddhists, and they're mainly from one community, and very few others from some other communities in different states. So that great hope of Baba Saheb's has not yet been fulfilled. So why has it not been fulfilled? I think it's important to analyze why this has not happened. Well, the first and most important reason is that Baba Saheb himself passed away within 5 weeks of conversion. That leadership that he would have given was taken from us. If Baba Saheb had lived, who knows what would have happened? Probably many people would have listened to Baba Saheb. And he would have been able to influence people throughout India. But that leadership was taken away and the movement didn't gather momentum. But then there was a poor response from the rest of the Buddhist world. Can you still hear us? Good, okay. So yes, there was a poor response from the rest of the Buddhist world. Baba Saheb hoped for lots and lots of money, lots and lots of men to come and help the work in India. But perhaps because he died so soon, that response didn't come. And it's strange that some help has come from the new Buddhists of Britain. But not much from the old Buddhist world. So then there was a lack of resources and especially of money. A lack of training and understanding. People weren't trained in this new religion. There were very few people to preach that religion. But then there was quite a bit of faction and disharmony within the new Buddhist movement. People started fighting with each other instead of communicating the Dhamma. Then people were isolated because casteism isolates each community. And then there was quite a bit of hostility and prejudice. So that's all meant that the movement of conversion has not gone forward at anything like the pace that Baba Saheb hoped for. And you know the main way in which Buddhism has spread in India is through birth. We've not converted new people, we've bred new Buddhists. So Buddhism has not grown outside the old community. So this is a very sad situation and one we need to face up to. There's so much still to be done. My own view is that we really need to relaunch the movement of conversion.
Uh, 2006
is the 50th anniversary of the conversion. And I feel we need to relaunch this movement for that occasion. It's a really good opportunity to bring more and more people to the Buddha Dhamma. But if that's to happen, we need to share the Dhamma much more widely. And this action plan is intended to help us do that. So I want to make clear what I mean by a conversion campaign. I don't mean just converting people to wave the Buddhist black flag. I don't mean conversion to Buddhism as just a religion. Not I'm right and you're wrong. Not these rules and this group identity. I mean converting people to follow the Dhamma. That means the Dhamma as Shila. Dhamma equals Shila, Shila equals Dhamma, Baba Sahib says. And Shila is right relations between man and man. And it's based on a vision that all human beings can become Buddhas. What I want to see is people converted to their own human potential. I want to see people wake up to the fact that they have the Buddha inside them. I want to see people wake up to their infinite capacity for wisdom and compassion. I want to see people wake up to their identity with all living things. I want to see people live a life of genuine Shila based on the love of other beings. In a way, I don't mind whether they call themselves Buddhists or not. What I want is for them to practice the Dhamma and to follow the path of the Buddha. I don't mind even if they want to call themselves Jains or Christians or whatever. It doesn't matter to me. As long as they practice the Dhamma and follow in the footsteps of the Buddha. I think this perspective is important in India. There's so much division between people because of religion. People die in India because of religion. Some people from one religion go and kill people from another religion. That's not Dhamma. That's what we want to leave behind. So we don't want conversion to Buddhism to be just another form of strife, another form of opposition between one Indian and another. So we want people to follow the path of the Buddha and practice the Dhamma. We want to share the Dhamma with everybody who wants to partake of it. We want to encourage people to practice Dhamma. And that's the revolution we need to relaunch. That's what Baba Sahib wanted. He wanted people to follow the Dhamma. So it's now our job to help them to do so. So how to do it? This is the big question. And what I suggest is that there are three different ways we need to communicate the Dhamma. If you like, there are three different messages. And those messages are for different sets of people. We need to see who our target audience is. We need to see who our target audience is. But we need to think even a bit like businesses do. Let's say you've got some toothpaste. And you want to sell that toothpaste to as many people as possible. So what do? You do some market research. And you find out what is it that people want from toothpaste. And you find, for instance, that some people want toothpaste so their teeth are very white and they can attract a nice wife. So then you advertise toothpaste to make it seem that it'll get you a good wife. Some people want toothpaste so that their breath doesn't smell. So you advertise toothpaste so it attracts people who don't want their breath to smell. So we've got a really good product. It's been developed 2,500 years ago. It's the best product in the world. It's the Dhamma product. So now we need to think how to market the Dhamma in India. We need to do some market research and think how to go to each market to sell that product. And when you find your target market, then you need to find the right way of communicating with those people. Now, I've done some preliminary research. I think we need to do more research and maybe even need to have some kind of conference about spreading Dhamma. So to me, there seem to be three different kinds of audience. And for each audience, we need a different package. And a different poster. And on the television, a different advertisement. We need to know our market. This is the really intelligent businessmen, they really study their market. And they really find out what people want. And then they develop their product for that market. So for me, there are three markets. First of all, there's those who now call themselves Buddhists. Now you might think they're not really a market because they've already got the product. But unfortunately, I think many of them don't have the proper product. They've got duplicate product. And it doesn't always work. Like you take the medicine and it doesn't actually make you better. It's made of chalk, it's not some real medicine. So we need to make sure that the proper product gets to existing Buddhists. Then secondly, there's other so-called Dalit communities. I don't like using this term because I don't think we should think of ourselves these ways. But it's difficult to know how else to indicate a particular group of communities. Scheduled tribes, scheduled castes, OBCs, all those. So all those people, that's a particular market. And we need to take the Dhamma to them in the appropriate package to them. Then thirdly, there are educated, modern-minded caste Hindus who could be receptive to Dhamma. Those are the people that Baba Saheb hoped would come to the Dhamma back in 1956. So each of those markets needs a different packaging for the Dhamma. Product is the same, package is different. Sometimes you see this, that a product is exactly the same product, but it's different package, even different price. You sometimes get this, you can get products in the West that are very expensive and very expensively packaged. And you find exactly the same product here in India. But it's differently packaged and it's much cheaper. So I try to do my shopping here in India because it's so much cheaper. But we're selling to these three different markets and we've got to package the product in the way that people will want to buy it. For people who want to look beautiful, there's no good selling toothpaste on the grounds of health. If the product does the job, you've got to tell them that it does the job you want they want it to do. So okay, let's go through each of these different markets and say, at least in a preliminary way, how the message could be packaged. packaged.
It needs much more thought, and this is just my preliminary exploration. But I shall be interested to see whether you agree with me. Maybe you can see more markets as well. Because I think there are even markets within each of these markets. For instance, young people have a different attitude to older people. So we might need to get even slightly different packaging within one market. But let's at least just talk about these three different markets and see what you make of what I've got to say. So first of all, the present Buddhist community. I think we need to re-inspire Buddhists. And I think we can do that by giving three messages. The first is a message of harmony. I've noticed that I've talked a lot these days about Buddhists working together. And I've noticed that people respond very strongly to this. They don't like to see their leaders, they don't like to see different groups fighting each other. People want to work together. And I think we need to give a very strong message that all Buddhists are united. We shouldn't waste time fighting each other. Yes, we might have some comments to make about each other. But let's make them directly and in a friendly way, in a helpful way. All existing Buddhist groups could do better. They've all got their faults. In TBMSG, we've certainly got our faults. So if you think you can help us by helping us to overcome our faults, please come and tell us. We'll listen. And other groups should do the same. But we shouldn't be quarrelling in public. We shouldn't be having public programs where we criticize each other. We waste our energy and we spoil the idea that people have of Buddhism. So we should give a message of harmony, of unity. We should cooperate together. Then we can really begin to move outside the present Buddhist community. We shouldn't be fighting and jealous of each other. There's plenty of work for everybody. Yes, we've all got our different ways, but that's part of the richness of Buddhism. We should offer what we've got in harmony and unity. So we should go to existing Buddhists with a message, with a package of harmony and unity. Secondly, I think we need to go to existing Buddhists offering them personal change, personal development.
विद्यमान बौद्ध समाजाकडे दिली पाहिजे ते म्हणजे त्यांच्यामध्ये व्यक्तिगत विकास घडवून आणण्यासाठी व्यक्तिगत परिवर्तन घडवून आणण्यासाठी
political work social work is very very important
आता राजकीय जे कार्य आहे सामाजिक जे कार्य अतिशय महत्त्वाचं आहे
but it must be based on an inner change
परंतु याचा जो काही पाया आहे तो आंतरिक बदलावर आधारित असला पाहिजे
it must be based on shila samadhi prajna
याचा जो काही आधार आहे तो शील समाधी आणि प्रज्ञा असला पाहिजे
so I think we should encourage Buddhists, existing Buddhists, to practice Shila Samadhi Prajna. We should offer them opportunities for practicing Shila Samadhi Prajna. Then they will be so much stronger, have so much more power. Then thirdly, we should encourage existing Buddhists to complete Baba Sahib's work.
आणि तिसरी बाब म्हणजे आपण त्यांना प्रेरणा देऊ शकतो की बाबा साहेबांचं जे कार्य आहे ते कार्य पूर्ण करण्यासाठी
We should encourage them to take the Dhamma out to other communities.
आणि आपण त्यांना प्रोत्साहित करू शकतो की धम्म इतर समाजापर्यंत ते पोहोचवू शकते.
We should involve them if we can in this action plan
ani jar apan shakya khala tar tena apla jo kai krutya sankalp ahe tyacha madhe tena apan sahabhagi karun gheu shakto
we should encourage them to take up this action plan and put it into effect for themselves
ani mag asha prakare ha jo kai apla krutya sankalp ahe asha prakare swatah te swikar karun acharanat anu shakte asha prakare tena madat keli
pahe if Buddhism is to spread Buddhists need to share it
जर बुद्ध धर्माचा प्रचार व्हायचा असेल तर बौद्धांनी मग तो इतरांसोबत वाटून घेतला
If Buddhists are spreading the Buddha Dhamma, who's going to do it?
जर बौद्ध लोक बुद्ध धर्माचा प्रचार करणार नाही तर हे कोण करेल
Hindus aren't going to spread it. Christians aren't going to spread it. Other people from different religions, they're not going to be the ones to spread Buddha Dhamma. It's only going to be Buddhists. So let's give this message to other Buddhists loud and clear. Let's try to reconnect them with Baba Sahib's dream.
आणि बाबा साहेबांचे जे स्वप्न होतं त्या स्वप्नाशी परत त्यांचा आपण संबंध जोडला पाहिजे
सो दिस इज द पॅकेजिंग वी नीड टू टेक द डम्मा टू एक्झिस्टिंग बुद्धिस्ट इन
तर हा आपला पॅकेज आहे जे अस्तित्वात आज होत आहे त्यांच्यापर्यंत घेऊन जाण्यासाठी
हार्मनी
सुसंवाद
इनर चेंज
आंतरिक बदल
sharing dhamma more widely
ani vyapak pramanat dhamma itransobat patun gele
and this message even in TBMSG we need to have much more strongly
ani he amala prayogya bodhama sangha sayakana madhe sudha sashakta bane yachi garaj
sometimes I think we just talk to ourselves
kadhi kadhi ami swatashi tyachi charcha karat
asto we're just giving talks to each other
ami ekmekanna pravachan det asto
we're not really going out and reaching more and more people
ami bahir jaun adhik adhik lokanparyant pohochat nahi
so this is equally for us in TBMSG
he saman
But it's the whole Buddhist movement in India. So we need to package our message to other Buddhists in these ways. So then, what about the second target market? Are there similar communities with a similar sort of history and background? So many still suffer from the effects of caste in India.
आणि यातले अनेक लोक भारतातील जी काही जाती व्यवस्था आहे त्याच्यामुळे आजही ते दुःख भोगत आहे
There's a small percentage of Indians who do manage to live completely free from caste
आता काही लोक भारतामध्ये पूर्णपणे जातीतेच्या या विळख्यातून बाहेर पडले आहेत
There are parts of India that are really just like the west
आता काही असा भाग आहे भारताचा जो अगदी पश्चिमेसारखा आहे
But the great majority of Indians are still trapped in the old system
परंतु आता मोठ्या प्रमाणात अजून भारतीय समाजाचा आहे जो या जुन्या पद्धतीमध्ये अजूनही जकडलेला आहे
इट्स नॉट एज रिजिड इट्स नॉट एज फिक्स्ड एज इट यूज्ड टू बी
आता आधी जसं अगदी म्हणजे तो पक्का होता किंवा अशा प्रकारे समजा कडक होता तसं काही नाही
बट इट्स स्टील देअर इट्स स्टील स्ट्रॉंग
परंतु आताही मात्र तिथे आहे आताही सशक्तपणे ते कार्यरत आहे
वन थिंग आय रियलाइज्ड इज दॅट कास्ट इज व्हेरी व्हेरी पर्सिस्टंट
It keeps on changing its shape to adapt to new circumstances. Even a change of religion may not mean the end of caste.
आता धर्म परिवर्तन करना म्हणजे याचा अर्थ असा होत नाही की आपले आता जात बदललेले आहे, जातीचे विचार बदलले.
I was in Goa recently and I was talking to people there.
आता मी अलीकडे गोव्याला गेलो होतो आणि गोव्यात मी लोकांशी बोलत होतो.
Well, Christianity came to Goa 400-500 years ago.
400-500 शतकापूर्वी तिथे ख्रिश्चन धर्म गेला.
And Christianity teaches the brotherhood of man.
आणि मग ख्रिश्चन धर्म माणसांमध्ये बंधुत्व शिकवतो.
But in Christian churches in Goa, you've got part for Brahmins, part for other castes.
आणि मग गोव्यामध्ये जे काही चर्च आहे तर काही चर्च ब्राह्मणांसाठी आहेत आणि काही दुसऱ्या जातीसाठी आहेत.
You've got Christian castes.
आणि मग ख्रिश्चन जात निर्माण झाली.
So this caste mentality, it's very, very cunning.
आता ही जी काही जातीची जी मानसिकता आहे मोठी मजेशीर आहे.
It adapts to new circumstances.
आणि नवीन परिस्थितीमध्ये ते स्वतःला म्हणजे एक प्रकारे बसवून घेते.
And it's adapted in the 20th century to the modern condition.
आणि अगदी 20व्या शतकामध्ये आधुनिक अशा पद्धतीमध्ये सुद्धा ती स्वतःला बसवून घेते.
India's changed in so many ways.
भारत अनेक पद्धतीने बदललेला.
But caste goes on.
परंतु जात मात्र तशीच सुरू आहे.
It's a very, very deep conditioning.
आणि अतिशय सखोल अशा प्रकारे तो आपल्यावरचा संस्कार आहे.
And many suffer very deeply still from that caste conditioning and its effects.
आणि जातीचा जो काही संस्कार आहे त्याचा जो काही प्रभाव आहे याच्यामुळे आजही अनेक लोक दुःख भोगत आहेत.
And these people need to get out of that old caste identity.
आणि या लोकांना जुनी जातीची त्यांची जी काही ओळख आहे त्याच्यामधून बाहेर पडणं अतिशय महत्वाचं आहे.
But they don't think of changing.
परंतु ते बदलण्याचा विचार करत नाही.
They respect Babasaheb very deeply.
आता बाबासाहेबांबद्दल त्यांना अतिशय सखोल असा आदर आहे.
Many of them even consider themselves to be Ambedkarites.
आणि त्यातले बहुतेक लोक स्वतःला आंबेडकराईट म्हणून घेतात.
So we have to go to them with a new package.
तर त्यांच्यापर्यंत आपण गेलो पाहिजे आणि हा नवीन पॅकेज त्यांच्यापर्यंत नेला.
And this package is quite a hot package.
आणि हा जो पॅकेज आहे तो आता म्हणजे अगदी गरम असणार.
This package is a challenging package.
आणि हा जो पॅकेज आहे हा आव्हान देणारा पॅकेज असणार.
We have to go to them and say, well, you are followers of Babasaheb.
आपण त्यांच्याकडे जाऊन म्हटलं पाहिजे की तुम्ही बाबासाहेबांचे अनुयायी आहात.
You know that Babasaheb converted to the Buddha Dhamma at the end of his life.
आणि तुम्हाला माहिती आहे की त्यांच्या जीवनाच्या शेवटी त्यांनी बुद्ध धर्मामध्ये धर्मांतर केलं होतं.
Please let me ask you one question.
तर कृपया मला तुम्हाला एक प्रश्न विचारू द्या.
Why did Babasaheb convert to the Buddha Dhamma?
त्यांनी बुद्ध धर्मामध्ये धर्मांतर का केलं?
Why did he convert? Why did he convert? Just to see.
So they are mother
काय केलं? Just see what they say.
आणि मग बघा की ते काय म्हणतात.
Most of them won't have thought about this.
बहुतेकांनी याचा विचारच केला नाही.
They won't have thought about it at all.
याचा काही ते विचारच करू शकले नाही.
So you need to ask, well, don't you understand why he converted?
तर बाबासाहेबांनी धर्मांतर का केलं हे तुम्हाला काही समजलं नाही का?
बाबासाहेब was such a great man.
बाबासाहेब एवढे महापुरुष होते.
He didn't take a step like that just as a dream.
आता एखादं स्वप्न पडलं म्हणून त्यांनी हे पाऊल उचललं असं काही बाबासाहेबांसारखी व्यक्ती करू शकत.
He thought he didn't do it just because he felt like it one day.
आणि एके दिवशी त्यांना असं वाटलं की चला आता धर्मांतर करा म्हणून काही त्यांनी धर्मांतर केलं.
He thought about it all his life.
संपूर्ण जीवनभर त्याचा त्यांनी विचार केला.
He'd taken that step after great thought with great care.
अतिशय सखोल विचारांनी अतिशय काळजीपूर्वक त्यांनी हे पाऊल उचललं.
So why don't you follow Babasaheb even in this?
तर बाबासाहेबांचे तुम्ही म्हणजे इतर सुद्धा तशाच प्रकारे अनुकरण का करत?
So then we need to explain the reasons why Babasaheb converted.
आणि मग बाबासाहेबांनी धर्मांतर का केलं त्याची काय कारण होती हे त्यांना आपण स्पष्ट केलं पाहिजे.
We need to say these reasons apply to you as much as they do to me.
आणि मग आपण सांगितलं पाहिजे ही कारण जसं मला लागू पडतात तशाच प्रकारे ही कारण तुम्हाला सुद्धा लागू पडतात.
Get out of the old system.
तर जुनी जी काही पद्धत आहे त्याच्यामधून तुम्ही बाहेर पडा.
Take on the Buddha Dhamma and find freedom.
बुद्ध धर्माचा स्वीकार करा आणि स्वातंत्र्य मिळवा.
Help to build the new India.
नवीन भारत निर्माण करण्यासाठी मदत करा.
Change your mind so that it becomes the mind of liberty, equality and fraternity.
तुमच्या मनामध्ये परिवर्तन आणा, जेणेकरून तुमचं मन जे आहे स्वातंत्र्य समतानी बंधुत्वाचं बने.
Some will say, well, we need to get power first.
आता काही लोक असं म्हणतील की आधी आपल्याला सत्ता मिळाली पाहिजे.
But what good is power without Sheila? We're just then exchanging one set of dictators for another set of dictators. Yes, let's struggle for power. But let that power be on the basis of Sheila, on the basis of Dhamma. So embracing Dhamma does not mean not struggling for power. So we need to challenge people in this way. We must ask them to think deeply about why Baba Sahib converted.
आपण त्यांना विचारलं पाहिजे, याचा सखोलपणे विचार करत म्हटलं पाहिजे की बाबासाहेबांनी धर्मांतर का केलं.
यू से बाबासाहेब 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 बट यू डोंट फॉलो इट.
आता तुम्ही असं म्हणता की बाबासाहेब बाबासाहेब बाबासाहेब, परंतु बाबासाहेबांचं सुद्धा तुम्ही अनुकरण करीत नाही.
यू फॉलो हिम सो फार अँड देन यू टर्न अवे.
आता काही मर्यादेपर्यंत तुम्ही बाबासाहेबांच्या मागे जाता आणि त्याच्यानंतर मात्र तुम्ही तुमचा मार्ग बदलता.
प्लीज अंडरस्टँड व्हाय बाबासाहेब कन्व्हर्टेड.
कृपया बाबासाहेबांनी धर्मांतर का केलं हे समजून घ्या.
So this is the message we need to give.
आणि हा संदेश आपल्याला त्यांना देण्याची गरज आहे.
Yes, it's a hot message.
आता हा मोठा गरम असा संदेश.
But it'll be very, very attractive to so many.
परंतु अनेक लोकांना मात्र हे मोठा आकर्षित करणार आहे.
But there's a warning here.
परंतु इथं मात्र आपल्याला एक इशारा आहे.
If we expect people to come to Buddhism, we must welcome them.
आता जर आपली अशी अपेक्षा आहे की लोकांनी ही बुद्ध धर्म स्वीकारला पाहिजे, तर आपण त्यांचं स्वागत केलं पाहिजे.
If people leave their old community identity and embrace Buddhism, they'll be isolated perhaps from their old community.
आता समजा काही लोक त्यांच्या जुन्या समाजातून बाहेर येऊन बुद्ध धर्माचा स्वीकार करतील, तर कदाचित त्यांच्या समाजामधून ते एकाकी पडतील.
What people immediately begin to think is, how will I find a husband for my daughter, a wife for my son?
आणि मग ते याचा विचार करतात की माझा जो काही मुलगा आहे त्याच्यासाठी मी एक वधू कशी मिळवेल, किंवा त्याला बायको कशी मिळेल, किंवा माझी मुलगी आहे त्याच्यासाठी तिच्यासाठी मी पती कसा असतो.
दिस इज व्हाय कास्ट्स रिमेन सो स्ट्रॉंग.
आणि म्हणूनच जात अतिशय मजबूत आहे.
इन द एंड कास्ट कम्स डाऊन टू मॅरेज.
आणि जात जी आहे म्हणजे अशा प्रकारे विवाहातून म्हणजे ती निर्माण.
And in the end, people are afraid to lose their old identity because they're afraid they won't find husbands and wives.
आणि मग लोक अशा प्रकारे धर्मांतरासाठी घाबरतात, कारण त्यांना असं वाटतं की अशा प्रकारे पती किंवा पत्नी ते मिळवू शकणार नाही.
So we must dissolve caste when we become Buddhists.
जेव्हा आपण बौद्ध म्हणतो तेव्हा पूर्णपणे जात आपण सोडून दिली पाहिजे.
We must welcome people when they leave their old religion and embrace Buddhism.
जेव्हा लोक त्यांचा जुना धर्म सोडतात, जुना धर्माचा स्वीकार करतात, त्यांचा आपण स्वागत केलं पाहिजे.
We must welcome them fully.
पूर्णपणे आपण त्यांचं स्वागत केलं.
We must welcome them fully into brotherhood and sisterhood with us.
तर आपल्यासोबत अगदी बंधू आणि भगिनीचं नातं म्हणून आपण त्यांना स्वीकारलं पाहिजे.
Otherwise, we'll just have caste within Buddhism.
नाहीतर मग बुद्ध धर्मामध्ये सुद्धा आपल्याला जात दिसू नये.
This is my great fear. If that happens, I won't come to India anymore. It would just be the greatest sadness of my life. So when we invite people to embrace Buddhism, we must invite them fully as brothers and sisters in the same same brotherhood with us.
आणि जेव्हा आपण अशा प्रकारे लोकांना बुद्ध धर्मामध्ये निमंत्रित करतो, तर पूर्णपणे आपण निमंत्रित केलं पाहिजे. अगदी आपल्यासारखे त्यांना आपण बंधू आणि भगिनी समजलं पाहिजे.
We've left caste identity behind.
आपण आपली जी काही जातीची ओळख आहे ती मागे सोडलेली आहे.
That's what it means to be a Buddhist.
आणि म्हणूनच आपण बौद्ध होतो, आपण बौद्ध.
It means to leave caste and community behind.
जी काही जात आहे ती पूर्णपणे आपण मागे सोडली पाहिजे.
So we must welcome people from other communities fully as Buddhists.
आणि मग एक बौद्ध म्हणून खऱ्या अर्थाने इतर समाजातील लोकांना आपण स्वीकारू शकतो.
If they don't feel they're welcome, they won't come to us.
आणि अशा प्रकारे जर त्यांना असं वाटलं नाही की त्यांचं स्वागत होत आहे, तर ते आपल्यापर्यंत येणारच नाही.
So we need to campaign for others, going out to others. And I'm very glad, I know there are people from different communities here tonight. Well, you're not from other communities, you're brothers and sisters in the Dhamma, to us. Here truly, Sarva Log, Apne Log, Ahe. So let's go to people from different communities and welcome them to us. Let's challenge them to think about the Buddha Dhamma. Let's challenge them to think about why Baba Sahib converted. If they understand why Baba Sahib converted, they may come. So we need to ask them why they've whether they've considered this question. Even challenge them a bit. So this is the package we need for those people. But we need to welcome them fully as brothers and sisters in the Sangha. We must let go of that subtle sense of caste that we carry in our inside us. In our TBMSG, we do have people from a number of different communities. And they're very, very welcome. And we try to dissolve all barriers. So if we want to fulfill Baba Sahib's dream, this is what we need to do. So then there's our third market. People from other communities, let's say caste Hindus, especially those who are educated and modern minded. I've certainly met quite a number of young people from even Brahmin caste and so on, who just don't think in terms of caste. People are not marrying within their own community. People who hate that sort of inequality. This is especially among young people I found. Maybe they've travelled to the West, they've got a different outlook. They're interested in personal development. They're interested in the meaning of life. In fact, I found there are many of those sort of educated, high-class Indians who've got an attitude similar to the attitude that my generation had in the West. They've got a scientific mind, they've got a developed intellect. They don't at all believe the old superstitions. And they believe in a world community. But they want to know, what is life for? What is life for? Why am I alive? What is the meaning of this existence that I've been born into? Is life just to eat and drink and then die? Is it just to watch television and smoke cigarettes and drink alcohol? Is it just to go to work each day? And then you die? There must be some meaning to life.
We must be here for some purpose. So many people like this are beginning to think. So they want some meaning in their lives. And they're beginning to turn to the Buddha Dhamma. They're beginning to want to learn to meditate. And well, they have an attitude very like my own generation. This is why I came to the Buddha Dhamma. I had no social problems. My parents were not rich, but they were quite well off. I had quite a privileged upbringing. I didn't realize there were people who were underprivileged and who suffered. I was just ignorant. I had no prejudice. I was just ignorant of what life was like for so many people. But I suffered because I didn't know what my life was about. So I found my way to the Buddha Dhamma. And I found a religion that responded to my needs. It was a religion without God. I'd got rid of God when I was about 14. I couldn't find God up there. Couldn't find God down there. So I thought, well, where is God? I decided not to believe in God. No thunderbolt came and struck me dead. In fact, I felt happier, I felt freer. But I still felt life has to mean something. What's the point of being alive if there's not some goal in life? So I found in the Buddha Dhamma a religion without God that was reasonable. A religion that was very, very deep. And a religion that offered me practical ways of going forward. Especially ways of going forward by meditating. So many people in India from that sort of background will be attracted to the Buddha Dhamma. And they're already coming, they're already trying to find their way. I met somebody the other day from that sort of background. She was very pleased to hear that I was here teaching Buddhism. And she said she'd gone to England to try to find some Buddhist teaching. It's quite strange, an Indian going to England to find Buddhism. So she's very pleased to find that Buddhism was available here in India. Now those sort of people aren't going to be interested initially in Baba Sahib. They may not even be interested in the Buddha. They'll be interested in meditation and in Buddhist philosophy. So we need to package the Dhamma for them. So the package to begin with has no Baba Sahib picture on it. It has no Buddha image on it. It's to do with philosophy, it's to do with personal development, to do with meditation. Later, when they open the package, Baba Sahib will be there. The Buddha will be there. Just like it was for me. But let's let them approach in their own way. So this is what we need to do. We need to approach people in the way that's appropriate to them. So if we want to share the Dhamma with people, we need to think about these three different approaches. For existing Buddhists, the message of harmony. Let's stop fighting, let's work together. Let's be in harmony with each other. Stop criticizing each other. Just do good, positive work. We need to get the message across that Buddhism means inner work. It means Shila Samadhi Prajna. Then we need to get the message across to them, they need to spread the Dhamma to other communities. Then secondly, our second market is other communities with a similar history of oppression. That's probably 60% of the population of India. Come from those sort of communities and still suffer. And we need to go to them saying, "You're followers of Baba Sahib. Why did Baba Sahib convert?" Please take Baba Sahib's conversion seriously. Please understand why he converted. Please convert yourselves like he wanted you to. That will give you human dignity and Shila to base a just society upon. And we must welcome them fully as brothers and sisters in the Sangha. And then there's our third target audience, educated, modern-minded, let's say ex-caste Hindus. In a way, they're people who've really joined the Western world, even here in India. And we need to go to them with a message of Buddhism as personal development. We need to approach them especially through meditation. And I'm very pleased that we've begun this work, especially in Pune. Dhammachari Lokamitra is opening the Jambudvipa Meditation Center. And it's attracting a lot of people from different backgrounds and communities. And we don't have to have Baba Sahib on the wall to begin with. We're not being disrespectful to Baba Sahib. We're just using good marketing techniques. If people don't like the color red, don't use the color red on your packaging. Use the color that people like to buy. When they open the package, Baba Sahib will be there. But we need to have a different approach for different people. So tonight I've talked about these three different markets. I've talked about the different message we need to have for each of those markets. Of course, in the end, they're all coming into the one Buddhist Sangha. They're coming into the one new society of liberty, equality and fraternity. But there are three different doorways. There's one room, but three doorways. One palace, but three gateways. So let's think about these things and decide how we're going to do this work. Baba Sahib's work needs to be restarted. In the 50th anniversary year, we need to see crores and crores of people coming to the Buddha Dhamma. If that's to happen, we need to have a new approach for each of these different communities. So I talked about these different markets. I talked about the different packages. Tomorrow night I'm going to talk more deeply about what each of us can do. Because each of you needs to start this work. So I hope we'll get quite practical tomorrow night and you can go away and start that work. And if we do that, we will really fulfill Baba Sahib's desire. We will create a Dhammic India. There's the Ashok Chakra on the flag of India. That chakra must turn. We have to turn that Dhamma Chakra on the Indian flag. It's up to you, brothers and sisters. The work is yours. Jai Bhim.